There was another presidential debate this weekend, this one featuring the Democratic candidates. We're seeing a lot from candidates in these debates and in media coverage in general. But are voters getting the information they need to make informed decisions when the primary voting starts next year? And are there key issues being overlooked?
There are often criticisms of horse race coverage from the media, vague policy platforms from the candidates, and too much focus on personalities and unimportant issues. On the other hand, millions of people are watching the debates, so they could potentially be valuable ways for voters to weigh their options.
Susan Johnson joins us now. She's Associate Professor of Political Science and Assistant Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Rob. Good to be here.
Before we dive into some issues, you actually pointed me toward an article making the case that whatever the two parties are talking about, the candidates are talking about, it's not the same thing. We're seeing two alternate universes here.
Right. I was referring, as I sent you an article from the New York Times about a month ago, and it was looking at the debates and the kinds of issues that were being covered in the Republican debate and the Democratic debate, and particularly in those early ones, and just looking at some of the issues and how the issues that were highlighted in the Democratic debate, for example, there was a lot of talk of the environment, minimum wage, income inequality. There was discussions of gun control in that debate. And then in the Republican debates, some of those issues were discussed, but the main themes of those debates were a bit different, with immigration being a major issue, lower taxes, Planned Parenthood got a lot of attention. So there's been a bit of a divergence, I guess I would argue as well, in terms of the kinds of things that are being discussed in those debates.
Is that something that gets sorted out in the general election, or is this a reflection that we have more and more, at least politically, two Americas who look at the world, who look at the country and see two different sets of problems?
When the candidates are speaking during the debates, they're speaking to the primary electorate. And in the case of both the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, you tend to have a more polarized electorate in the primaries. So you've got more conservative Republicans who would be mobilized in a Republican primary, and the same would go for Democrats, with more liberal Democrats being energized. And that's just how primary elections work. So you have the candidates, I think it's somewhat purposeful that we're seeing different issues highlighted in different ways in each party's debates, because they're speaking to their voters. And so I believe that when we get to the general election is when we're going to see a lot of these issues, where the eventual nominee will really need to get a bit deeper into the issues.
Well, let's focus in on the economy. That is one thing that's come up in debates on both sides of the aisle. A lot of candidates have been able to speak their piece, maybe in broad strokes. What do you make of the talk that we've seen on economic issues so far?
I think the main theme that we see from the Republicans is that we need lower taxes and a flatter tax rate. And from the perspective of the Democrats, the big issue seems to be minimum wage and income inequality. And these issues have crossed the debate. So we've seen the Republicans asked about the minimum wage, and we've obviously seen the Democrats asked about issues related to taxes and the like, but we're seeing the candidates putting these issues front and center in different ways. And I can think notably about the minimum wage and the kinds of responses that we saw from the Republican debate last week versus what we've been hearing about the Democrats. It's not necessarily surprising, but it's something to look at as we move forward.
So as they bring these up, are we getting much in terms of detail, or are these broad strokes saying, hey, we'll sort out the details later, but here's our marker, here's our philosophical position on this issue?
I think we're getting general, I would say in many cases, platitudes. I think that the Democrats have been fortunate because there's fewer of them. And so in the Democratic events, the forum that was held two Saturdays ago and then last Saturday's event, there's three people involved. And so just by virtue of that fact, they're able to speak much more in depth about their issues. Now, that can be a blessing and a curse, because if you're trying to be general and vague and attract the largest number of voters possible, maybe you don't want to spend 10 minutes talking about the ins and outs of your tax policy or something else. If you contrast that with the Republican debates, and there were 8 people on the stage last week, but that's still a lot of people, and each one is trying to get their message out very briefly, but you can only do it in quick sound bites. Lower taxes, flat tax, eliminate the IRS, put all our tax law on 3 pages, just to kind of get that sound bite that's going to get media coverage afterwards.
Talking to political scientist Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater about the presidential race, the issues in it, maybe issues that aren't getting the coverage that they need. You can weigh in, by the way, at 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear from the candidates? What do you want to see more detail about? 800-642-1234 is the number. And Susan, I want to get into what voters need to know, want to know, in order to make an informed decision. What kind of things do voters need to make that decision?
Well, I think that each voter is going to be different in terms of what her or his priorities are in terms of the issues. In looking at some of the key issues, I was looking at a poll that recently came out recently that looked at what some of the key issues are, and they tend to be a lot of the same issues that we've seen before. So the economy, terrorism, immigration, the environment, healthcare, and those are the kind of standard key issues. I think that for now, if we're speaking particularly to the primary electorate, I think that candidates in either the Democratic electorate or the Republican electorate are looking for the kind of information that would show them which candidate, I think two things, most closely aligns with what their position is, but also, at least I would hope, which candidate's ideas seem to be the most plausible in order to enact. And maybe we're not at that point where we're actually thinking about plausibility right now, but down the road, hopefully, that'll become more of something that we're talking about.
Well, maybe this is a kick-the-tire stages for voters now where, hey, we'll try this candidate on for size. They've got bold ideas. And maybe that's okay. We're trying it on for size, and we'll look for that plausibility test later when it's time to vote.
I think maybe. I mean, I think for some of us, as I sit and I watch the debates and I hear a lot of these broad generalities, I get a little bit frustrated. And then also it was interesting in the Republican debate last week where Rand Paul was trying to take some of the other candidates to task for speaking very broadly. And I appreciated that because he was bringing up some issues and saying, you can't do both of these things, or how could you argue in favor of this? What are you going to do if X, Y, or Z happens? And I guess I wish there was more of that. So you're right, in a certain sense, there's kicking the tires, but you're almost kicking the tires, and I feel like there might be a curtain that's covering the car.
We'll go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. We've got Tim on the line in Eau Claire. Tim, hi.
Hi. What I'd like to see out of at least the coverage is a more uniform coverage. What I mean by that is it seems like if the media doesn't take a candidate seriously, we'll say Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, they choose to look at other candidates. When realistically, Bernie Sanders is a top contender at this point for the Democratic nomination, and Donald Trump is still a top contender for the Republican nomination.
Tim, thanks a lot. And there's sometimes that herd mentality in journalism, like, oh, candidate X is surging the polls. We need to focus our attention on them. Do you think we as a voting public would be better served by trying to treat all candidates as equally as possible, not trying to determine early on, especially who's serious and who's not?
I think Tim's right, especially when we don't always know. Things change. Things are fluid, and it's possible. People have been predicting the end of Donald Trump since Donald Trump got in the race, and he's still around. Now, does that mean he's going to get the nomination? I don't know. I tend to think that he's not. But the fact is that if you presage every story with a suggestion that Bernie Sanders is unelectable, that sets the narrative almost for people. So I think that in a certain sense, candidates get tagged with these labels that then make them seem as they're not legitimate candidates or unelectable candidates, and then that does those candidates, and it does the voting public a disservice.
We're talking to Susan Johnson, UW-Whitewater political scientist, about issues that may not be getting enough attention in the presidential race.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear from the candidates that we're not already hearing? What issue do you think needs more coverage and conversation before votes are cast? And what do you need to know before you decide to support a presidential candidate? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation with political scientist Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater, talking about issues that may be undercovered in the presidential campaign.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to hear the candidates talk about? Is there an issue that's being overlooked in the race? And what makes your decision when you vote? Is it the stance on particular issues? Is it detailed policy proposals? Or is it leadership style, moral vision, or other intangibles? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go back to our callers with Carolyn in Madison. Carolyn, hi.
Hi. First, I just want to check. It seems to me I remember a League of Women Voters ran the debates initially, when they first hit television, starting with Kennedy and Nixon. Am I right about that?
Susan Johnson, do you know?
So the general election debates are different than the primary election debates. And so the League of Women Voters has, in the past, been involved in organizing the general election debates. But the primary debates have been organized, at least in the years I can remember, via the party. And that's why the Republican Party debate structure this time is different than the Democratic structure in terms of when they're being aired, how many there are, participation, and things like that.
And Carolyn, you had a question beyond that?
No, that's I just wondered.
Oh, that was it. Carolyn, thanks so much for that call at 800-642-1234. And Susan, I wonder, before we go back to our callers, is there something about, we're not so much trying to figure out their policy package, their proposals, maybe even their ideology. We're trying to figure out how they will be as leaders, at those intangibles I mentioned a few minutes ago.
I think to a certain degree, when candidates are being vetted or they're introducing themselves to voters, there's a lot of different things that people are trying to get a handle on, because in many instances, these people are unknown, particularly people who haven't been on the national stage, and even some who have been on the national stage aren't necessarily known to the general public. So the candidates themselves are trying to do many things when they're presenting themselves to voters. One of those is making sure that their broad policy positions are out there to attract the greatest number of voters in the primary electorate, but then also to, you're right, show that they're strong leaders. And some of that comes out when you think about answers to questions about terrorism or leadership on the economy. There's a goal to move beyond just what my tax plan is to more about how I would articulate that vision and implement that.
Let's go back to our callers. Chuck is on the line in Green Bay. Chuck, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I'd like to see both Republicans and the Democrats talk about the world economy, about how it's affecting us, and what they would like to see happen to enhance our economy.
Chuck, thanks a lot for that call. And Susan, a complicated issue, maybe more complicated than candidates would want to go deep on, especially given the domestic economy alone is tough enough to give details on.
Right. And I think that sometimes when we talk about trade agreements, for example, and the Trans-Pacific Partnership came up in the Republican debate as one example where Donald Trump and others tried to bring that up to bring up the global economy. But I think that you're right. In many instances, voters don't necessarily understand the ins and outs, and it's not their responsibility to necessarily the ins and outs of the economy. But I think that one of the things that the candidates should do is speak more to how our economy is tied into the global economy and thinking about issues that are important to voters, both Republicans and Democratic voters, indicate that the economy is the number one issue. Now, when you're thinking about the economy, you're generally thinking about your pocketbook more than anything else and not the pocketbook of anyone else, even around the world. But I think that candidates could do a better job of speaking about how our economy is integrated into a global economy.
Chuck, thanks a lot for that call. Catherine tweeted us to say she'd like to see the media cover how a candidate could work with a hostile Congress and deal with gridlock. Well, there's a question about how a president would actually function as a president.
And yeah, I think that speaks to leadership. I think that one of the issues when you ask someone that question, you can really sense by their answer about how willing they are to work across the aisle. And it's interesting because I think that what we see in the current political environment is more and more candidates who are willing to say that they're not necessarily interested in working across the aisle. I'll be curious to see what happens once we get to the general election, but I can't think of a time historically where you would have candidates so boldly talking about not engaging. And I'm thinking about a few of the candidates who are in the Republican primary. I mean, Ted Cruz is one very good example of someone who has been quite strong in saying that his own party has been acquiescing too much to the president and to the Democrats. And so that is something that actually candidates are differentiating themselves on, which I find really interesting.
So there's a lot we want to learn about our candidates, policy, personality, politics. Are these debates, as they're currently constituted, a good way to learn these things?
Again, I'll go back to the point I made earlier. I think that on the Democratic side, they are, again, only because there's just fewer people involved. And it's just really difficult when there's 10 or 11 or now 8 people on the stage over a 2-hour period of time to get each candidate to speak to the same issue and provide an in-depth answer and then demand appropriate follow-up, so to get beyond just some of the talking points. So I'm hopeful that as the pool winnows on the Republican side, that perhaps we'll be able to get more of that as well.
And short of that, do we, what, stack up their policy statements and settle in for a long fall evening read?
Well, there's not a whole lot out there in terms of policy statements. If you go to their websites, in some instances, you've got just bullet points. Other candidates have come out with more detailed policy proposals on certain issues, taxes, for example. But there's not a ton out there for you to say. It'd be a short read.
Susan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Happy to.
That's Susan Johnson. She's Associate Professor of Political Science and Assistant Dean in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Whitewater.